All right, everybody, welcome to our 1:30 live stream. If you're watching from the U.S., we're 1:30 Central Standard Time. Elsewhere in the world, maybe whatever time you're watching in. My name is Clint Kaler, and we do this live stream every week, streaming, teaching on the kingdom of God, and speaking truth, and speaking apostolically truth in order to bring order into the body of Christ, and thereby order into the world. Just got back from India, Goa, India, and I'll be sharing a couple testimonies about that. But it was a wonderful trip, about 8 days, and made a lot of new friends who are like family, and a lot of hearts that are similar to ours. And I just got to say, the people of Goa, especially the Christian community, was very, very hungry and very receptive to the word that we brought. Very, very desiring, very much desiring the word that we taught, and just ate it up. And one of the things that we kept hearing over and over was that God has sent you to us. I think it was a pretty common perception and understanding that, you know, they realized God had sent us to them. And we had a 3-day conference there, and we spoke on the will of God, the purpose of Christ in the earth, and we spoke on the purpose of the church, and then we talked about how to accomplish all of those things. And for the most part, this was a new message to the body of Christ there. You know, the body of Christ is typically primarily influenced by the Catholic Church, whether we understand it or not. Even in the modern church in America, and just all the way around the world, we have a heavy, heavy influence from Catholicism. You know, a lot of leaders, church leaders, pastors have abandoned the call, either out of ignorance or decidedly within their own hearts, to abandon the Ephesians 4:11 call to equip the saints until they reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. These fivefold leaders, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist, are for that purpose, are for the maturity of each believer until we all rise together as the glorious, spotless bride of Christ without blemish, of whom Christ was made the head for on purpose. Christ was made the head of this church, what we call it in the Greek. That's the ecclesia, which is actually a Greek term describing a governing body of people over the Greek city-states. But Christ became the head of all things for the church, it says in Ephesians. And the purpose of that is that the body of Christ, the ecclesia, would cause all things in heaven and all things on earth to be united in Christ. What does that look like practically? It looks like all of his enemies being made his footstool, and it looks like all nations being consumed by the kingdom of God. And it looks like all opposing kingdoms to be broken to pieces, as it says in Daniel 2:44. So this is the message of the gospel of the kingdom. This is the same message that Jesus preached, that Paul preached, that we read about in the New Testament. And this is the purpose, this is why God brought about this new line of humanity called the sons of God, who are the brothers of Jesus, who do the same works as he did, and even greater. So, this is the purpose of our message. This is our message, and this is what we taught there. This is what we preached there, and this is what we demonstrated there. And it was well received, and a new message for many. But we had the opportunity to sit down with a few folks just privately and talk about these things further. And you could tell that it was really, the understanding was coming, and this is critical for the maturity of the body of Christ. We can't come into maturity unless we know what we're maturing into. You know, it takes the mind of Christ to come into maturity, and it takes the Spirit of God to illuminate us to the mind of Christ. Paul said in one place, how can you expect to come into maturity without the Holy Spirit? And Jesus said the Holy Spirit has been given to us to show us all things that have been given to us, to lead us into all truth. And Paul talks about these things over and over. And as we understand these things, as we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth, to fully reveal to us all things that have been given to us as inheritors of God the Spirit, sons of God, then we will begin to come into what Paul calls an understanding, or the full understanding, of the hope of his calling. That he even prays for one of the churches in one of the letters he writes. He prays and says that you would comprehend with all the saints what is the depth and height and the measure of this calling and this love. And most people do not comprehend this. Most people have only been taught a gospel of salvation, and there is really nothing beyond that substantially in the church, in the modern church today. And of course, the enemy is doing all he can to oppose these things, to filter and to dilute these things. He comes with another gospel. He comes with gospels that seem very similar to Christianity, like we mentioned Roman Catholicism, which is very strong in Goa, India, and probably all throughout India, and probably all throughout the world where there's been any kind of Spanish or American influence. So it is the purpose of the church to pull down these strongholds, these lies, these false doctrines, but also to demonstrate, right? We're not just having arguments with who's right and who's wrong about this. It's not about, we're not arguing biblical doctrine or biblical fact just for the sake of argument. Paul said in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? And it says it in the very next verse, so that you may prove, right? So what's the purpose of having a renewed mind? You know, just to say that you're right? That is not going to accomplish the will of God on the earth. That's not going to subdue all of his enemies. His enemies give a flip if you can prove that, give a flip if you think you're right about things, right? His enemies don't care how right you are. They only care if you can prove the will of God. And this is why Paul says, be renewed in your mind, that you can prove the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect in his sight. What is good, pleasing, and perfect in his sight is that this new race of humanity after the likeness and image of Jesus Christ will consume the earth with the order of heaven. That is the plan. That is the purpose. That is why we abandon our lives. That is why we leave our lives. So many are caught up in business, in retirement, and what pleases them, in the things they like, the things they desire. Let's leave all this stuff and put our hand on the plow. Let's learn to turn our back on our own self and the desires of self, that we could take up his yoke. This is a command of Jesus, maybe you haven't thought of. Take my yoke upon you. Speaking of commands of Jesus. So taking his yoke upon us, putting our hands to the plow of the kingdom, and beginning to set the chaos of earth into order, beginning to destroy all the works of his enemies until all of his enemies are put under his feet, and beginning to consume nations with this gospel of the kingdom, with this power that translates humanity from darkness, from the kingdom of darkness, from the rule and dominion of darkness, into the rule and dominion of Jesus Christ the Master. He is Lord of the universe, and this earth will be completely ruled by him through his church for eternity. It says this, Paul wrote this, he says, this world and the kingdoms of this world are already in the process of passing away. So why do we hold on to this world? Why are we holding on to the things of this world? We need to be a good representative of Jesus Christ and live as he lived and conduct ourselves as he conducted himself. So I'll mention a couple testimonies here, and then we'll get into the rest of our time. I don't have time to mention everything, nor do I remember everything. In our three-day conference, we would teach and we would heal the sick and baptize people in the Holy Spirit. Many people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues. Many, 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 many people were healed. I know that there was at least three of us healing the sick, and we would pray for well over an hour healing the sick, and they were just being healed one after the other. Many people with crippling type situations, problems with their legs or their back or their knees, you know, things that have been chronic for some time, but also more serious cases like a young boy, and I don't know exactly how old he was, maybe 7, maybe 8, who had been deaf since birth, got both his hearing restored in both ears. I know that I prayed for a man who had loss of vision in his right eye. He could not, he said it's very weak, so not completely blind, but he said very weak. He couldn't use it to read anything or do anything like that. His vision was instantly restored. And I prayed for a man who had great difficulty sitting in a chair. Although he came, he was a tall man, he came and sat in the conference and listened. But he couldn't sit in a chair properly. And he had, I can't remember if it was an accident or what it was, but he had great difficulty sitting in the chair and great pain sitting in the chair. And I laid hands on him and commanded that thing to leave him. And he said, this is what he said. He said, I felt fizz coming out of the top of my spine. And I thought that was notable. That's a really interesting thing that happened there. Of course, you know, all kinds of manifestations happen when we heal the sick. But I got a chair and put him in it and said, now, how's that? He said, I am sitting here with no pain. He said, instantly healed. Many, many, many people instantly healed. We did that for 3 days. And then what was really great, and one of the messages I sent home while we were over there, was that people, after we were done teaching, healing the sick, and the people were still there. They didn't go home. So they were like, teach us some more. So we kept teaching and answering questions, and our services were at, you know, around 4 hours, 4 hours plus. It was a wonderful time, a very powerful time. We also did outreach and instructed people on outreach, went out into the a village area. Everybody, by the way, when we went out into that village area, we had like three or four teams. I can't remember now. But everybody that we touched was instantly healed out there. So including Hindus, including whoever, Catholics, and, you know, it doesn't matter, because we have been given dominion, all authority over all the power of the enemy, over all sickness and disease. This is the job of the sons of God. This is not just the job of pastors and teachers. This is the job of apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. It is the job of sons to walk like the Son. All right. So we had an amazing time. We most definitely will be going back probably for a longer period of time in order to really establish some things more strongly. We had people begging us to stay and increase our stay there. And even pastors reaching out to us from different parts of India saying, you know, we have a conference this weekend, please come, we'll pay your way and all this. But we couldn't stay this time, but we'll arrange something and go back, I'm sure. All right, let's dive into today. Let's do a couple things here real quick. If you're new with us, I want to let you know about our discipleship training cycle. This is a 24 teachings designed to lay a brand new foundation in your life. So many times people just need to start over. They've been in church too long and they don't know how to win. They don't know how to win in their own life. They don't know how, they don't have any self-control. They don't have any ability to walk in the Spirit. They only know church and they only know how to attend church, but they don't know how to live and operate as a son of God. So this discipleship training cycle will take you from beginning to end, front to back, and make you a disciple, okay? You have the obligation to obey the Word of God, but at least you won't be ignorant of the Word of God after going through this. This works. It's working here in our group and people that were training. In fact, one of the guys that we took with us, he went through this same training cycle, and it produced a son of God who was healing the sick, casting out demons, and doing all the works of the kingdom right alongside me on this trip to India. Also, we'll let you know about another thing that we have started doing this year called a co-laborer, and we have a Wednesday night co-laborer call. This is Wednesday night in the Central Standard Time Zone in the West, and this is at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and this is a deeper dive into Bible training and instruction, not with the goal of helping you understand more Bible facts, but with the goal of trying to get you to become someone that produces, someone that can do the works of Jesus Of course, everything that we're doing is to bring you into the full measure of the stature of His fullness, just like Jesus, okay? Let me talk about this real quick here. We've got an app, and this app is basically everything that we're pushing content-wise in one place. So all of our podcasts, all of our push notifications, all of our videos, all of our teachings, our trainings, it goes here first. And some of it is only here. You can view all of our live streams on the app, and you can view all of the live streams that we've already done on the app. So everything is on there. I encourage you to download that wherever you download your apps. Just search for Transfigured and you'll find it. Let's see here. I've got one other thing I want to do here. So we've got four things that we basically are like vision statements or kind of four pillars that we base everything on. Everything that we do bows down to making disciples. What is a disciple? Someone that who comes into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's someone who obeys the commands of Jesus. If you think you're a disciple and you don't put as the first thing to obey the commands of Jesus, you are not a disciple. You might be a churchgoer, but you're not a disciple. A disciple is someone who obeys His commands. So the first thing that we do is we gather in small groups in house churches. And we're doing this because it is the most effective way that we have found to grow people the fastest. It's not the fastest way to grow in numbers, but it is the fastest way for the numbers that are here to grow in maturity, so we do that. The second thing is regional gatherings. This is just bringing multiple house churches together, you know, having a corporate expression in our city, a bigger gathering in a big venue. We love that expression. We love all the big worship and everything that goes along with that. The third thing that we do is outreach. This is based on the book of Luke chapter 10, when Jesus sends out the 70, two by two, and He says, go into every city and heal the sick that are there. And that is a brand new thought to many Christians. They don't read the Bible and the commands of Jesus that He gave His disciples as their own personal commands. But it is imperative that when you read the Bible and Jesus gives a command to His disciples, you must understand that is your command as well. Jesus said in Matthew 28, He said, go into all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So whatever Jesus commanded those disciples, those original disciples, they went into all the nations and taught those commands. You ever wonder what they preached in the early days? What they taught, what they instructed people in? It was the commands of Jesus according to the gospel of the kingdom. Okay, and the fourth thing here is finances weaponized. Since we're not paying for big, fancy, beautiful buildings, we got finances that we can use as a weapon to destroy the works of darkness. So, you know, this looks like helping people where they're at. This looks like, you know, possible scenarios where someone gets healed and they got a stack of medical bills. How awesome would it be just to lay hands and see that sickness completely wiped out like it never happened, and then wipe out the bills like it never happened? I love this idea because we're setting people free and we're taking responsibility for all areas of freedom in people's lives. So that's our what we call our four things. All right, so let's jump in today to our teaching. I'm just going to kind of recap a little bit of what we taught in Goa and just kind of recap you know, some of the things that we teach regularly here. And we're always trying to simplify and boil down to concepts that are easy to understand, yet transformative in their truth. And we want to always present these in authority. You know, we're not suggesting things here from the Bible. We are declaring things to you. We are declaring the truth to you, okay? And it's so important in this age of modern church and modern, you know, Christianity that we speak the truth, that we speak the truth of the Word of God. Most people don't know the Word of God. They only know tradition that they've heard from people who have taught the Word of God. And typically, when you have a teacher, more often than not, you're going to have someone teaching the Word of God with an unrenewed mind. And we see the product of unrenewed minds in teachers in the church in the form of denominations. What is a denomination? You know, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, you name it. What is a denomination in the church? It is someone who has gotten a renewed mind in one area of their life and stopped there and said, this is the truth and we're exclusive to this truth. Well, what's happened there? They have renewed their mind, maybe according to salvation. They're very strong in preaching salvation, but they're very weak in, or maybe even opposed to, the gifts of the Spirit, healing, casting out demons, very weak in those areas because they're still under the influence of deceit, of deception. They're believing something besides the Word of God. But when your mind is in agreement with the Word of God in truth and in spirit, then you will not oppose God in any way. This is how Paul put it. He says that a carnal mind is in opposition or opposes the mind of Christ. You can be a Christian and speak in tongues, claim to be filled with the Spirit. You can even be a Christian healing the sick, casting out devils. But if you have a carnal mind in any area of your life, that area is still opposing God. Maybe you believe in salvation. The blood of Jesus cancels all sin, and you're very good at leading people into salvation. But you have been taught that, in order to heal the sick, it's got to be a special circumstance, a special case. You weren't taught that those who believe, according to Mark 16, will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You weren't taught healing as a responsibility as far as advancing the kingdom in order to destroy all the works of his enemies. Well, in that part of your mind, you are an enemy to God. You are opposing the Spirit and the Word of God in that part of your mind. And then if you began to teach people and make disciples, you're going to pass on to them that part of your unrenewed mind. And how are you going to do this? By teaching them tradition, by teaching them your opinion of the Word of God. And this is what Paul said in Ephesians 3:8. He says, to me, though I am very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God. Most people are going to read that and have no idea what it means, have no idea what it says, have no idea what it's referring to. Because they're only used to speaking or teaching out of tradition, things they've heard, things that have been handed down to them from other teachers. But if you take the responsibility to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God, to prove out what it says, to let the Holy Spirit lead you into all truth, to make this the most important, more important than food or drink, right? Then the Spirit of God is going to begin to reveal things to you. And it helps to have a teacher or a father in the faith who can read this and explain to you what it means, but you still have the responsibility to dig it out for yourself. See, when you stand before Jesus Christ, you're not going to stand there with whoever taught you. You're going to stand there alone, okay? So when Paul says to bring to light for everyone was the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, he is talking about this. Paul's assignment was to preach the mystery of Christ, which is the gospel of the kingdom and also referred to as the gospel of salvation, the word of truth, and the word of God. So you'll hear this mystery of Christ mentioned with these separate phrases, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of salvation, the word of truth, or the word of God. And what is this mystery? See, we don't have to, speculate. We don't have to try to figure it out somehow. It's written down in the word of God. Let's read it. The purpose of Christ in Ephesians 1, 9 and 10, chapter 1, verse 9 and 10 says this. He's going to use some of these same phrases because Paul is always talking about one thing here. To bring delight to everyone was the plan of the mystery of hidden for ages in God. Here it is, Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. Making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time. Here it is, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. So God has set forth his purpose in Christ. Why? In order to make known to us the mystery of his will. And this mystery, his will has remained a mystery until the time of Christ, because it says elsewhere that if the gods or the rulers of this age had known the purpose of Christ, the mystery of this will, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Do you understand that? Do you understand why it says that? Because when they didn't understand that, when the rulers of this world did not understand that by crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ, they were, in essence, crucifying the Lamb of God for the remission of sin, to release the dominion of God's kingdom in the earth through a new race of heavenly people who would be translated out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, and who have been predestined to be made into his likeness, predestined for the same works, and predestined to do the will of God, which is to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. So this is just like the enemy. He's always putting his foot in his mouth. He's always overplaying his hand, and he kills Jesus. He inspires the Jews to crucify Christ. Well, in doing so, God's plan was sealed. It became a done deal. In fact, Jesus, right before he died, he said, "It is finished." Like, it is done. This seals the deal. This is the beginning of a new age and a new covenant and the kingdom of God. And it will result in all nations being consumed by this kingdom. You know, all the nations of the world are in the process of, let's say it this way, are right now in the process of being consumed by the kingdom of heaven, by his righteousness, by its order. This is the purpose of God. This is what it means to unite all things in him. And even all things is not just the nations. All things includes all of creation. As we read in Romans chapter 8, it says that against its will, creation was made subject to corruption. Corruption came on the earth against its will. So all the things that have been made, I mean, from the dirt to the rocks to the trees to the animals, everything was experienced corruption through the sin of one man. It says death entered the world. And because of this death, everything became corrupt. And the world was made subject to corruption through death against its will. And the earth, even the creation, it says, is groaning, longing for the liberty of the glorious sons of God, or longing for the freedom of the glory of the sons of God, another translation says. So this thing that's happening presently in the earth with the sons of God, who are maturing in Christ, beginning to walk as sons, beginning to walk in the full dominion of Jesus Christ, beginning to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. This process that you see unfolding is the process where all things are going to be liberated by the glorious sons of God. How? Liberated from death. And, you know, what is cancer? It's a dose of death. What is COVID? It's a dose of death. What is blindness? It is the effects of death. See, all of these things have the same father. Death came from Satan. And when Satan gained dominion of this world because of the rebellion of Adam and Eve in the garden, then death began to rule in its dominance. But Jesus Christ now has come with a superior dominion over death. It's a dominion that rules even over death, hell, and the grave. And the Word of God declares that we, when Christ ascended to be seated at the right hand of the Father, we have ascended with him, seated at his right hand. Until when? Until all of his enemies be made his footstool. Again, he was made head over all things for the church. Why? That through the church, through his body, through the ecclesia, through the body of Christ, that the kingdoms of this world would be consumed by the kingdom of God, that all of his enemies would be made his footstool, that we would destroy all the works of the devil in this realm. Okay? This is the job of the church. This is what we are doing. And this process is currently taking place. The first argument usually is people brings this to the light. They say, well, that's not what I see. Okay? Who cares? What you see has nothing to do with the Word of God. Okay? What you see has nothing to do with the Word of God because it is written and it is working and it will come to pass. And it says this in Isaiah chapter 9, 6 and 7. It says, unto us a child is given, a child is born, a son is given. And he comes with the government of God on his shoulder. That word in the Hebrew is kingdom. He comes with the kingdom of God on his shoulder. And then it goes on to say that the expanse of this kingdom will never end. The expanse of this government and peace shall know no end. Well, where is this government and peace expanding? Right here on the earth. The problem is why you don't see, you know, this glorious truth revealed. Why don't you see what you would expect to see? Okay, well, have you taken responsibility to ensure that this is done? Or are you doing something else with your life? You know, you're playing hooky with the kingdom of God. You're just laying around enjoying yourself, eating good food, enjoying life, enjoying your family, enjoying the good things of this world, completely ignoring the command of Jesus to deny yourself and follow me and take my yoke upon you. Okay? It's going to be a rude awakening for so many Christians, people that call themselves Christians, who are really just churchgoers, who took no responsibility to obey the commands of Jesus. And in one spot, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, but you don't do what I say? Okay? And this is the call, and this is the thing that we teach so much. This is the call of a son of God to become a soldier, to become a disciplined soldier, whose mind is disciplined, whose heart is disciplined, and who lives as a son of God. What is a son of God? It is a sin-free human who is indwelt by God the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that he who joins himself to the Lord is made one spirit with God. That's right. Your spirit can be made one with God. Perfect union with the Father. But you're going to have to lay your personal, self-centered, body, desire-driven, you know, every desire from your body and your mind drives your life. You're going to have to deny those things. And you're going to have one source of influence in you. That is God, the Holy Spirit, who dwells in you. When you deny the desires of your body and the desires of your mind, you begin to allow a space where the influence that drives you is the influence of God the Spirit who dwells in you. This is the reason that God gave you himself in the form of his Spirit as an inheritance, that you could walk just like Jesus. Because Jesus was a sinless man, and he was indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. That means that everything that Jesus did, you can do in even greater. Because it wasn't Jesus that did the works. It wasn't Jesus that did the miracles. In fact, Jesus said that himself. He says, it's not I who does these works. It's the Spirit of the Father in me. And when we do our outreach here in our city, in our region, when we go to India or wherever we go, the same results are always happening. Why? Because it's not me who does the works. It's the Spirit of my Father in me. And I serve God with my Spirit, who has been made one Spirit with God. See, this is the mystery of marriage, right? Paul talks about this mystery of a husband and wife coming together. They become one flesh. When you join yourself to the Lord, you become one spirit. And out of that one spirit, the kingdom of God gives birth to the will of God, the dominion of God, the destruction of all of the works of the enemy, putting all of his enemies under his feet, consuming nations with the righteousness of the kingdom of God. To him who believes, Jesus said, no thing will be impossible. How is that possible? Because the person that is in you, the person of God, is the one who is doing the work, and there is nothing impossible with God. Whatever God wants to do, it is done by the Spirit, right? In the beginning, John chapter 1, it says, everything that was made by the Word of God, and there was nothing made that was not made by Him. But how was it done? How were the worlds created? How was the heavens created? How were the plants and animals and all things that are living created? They were created by the spoken word, and the Spirit did the work. This is how God operates, and this is what you are as a son. You operate, and you have been given maybe you don't operate like this now, but you have been given the opportunity and the ability to operate as God, to operate in His stead in the earth. That's called being an ambassador. It's called being a representative, or, the Bible uses all those terms, but the predominant term is the son, right? God made us sons. He placed Jesus Christ as head for His sons. Why? Because His sons have been tasked with bringing all the earth into order, all creation. And what does it look like for all the earth and all of the heavens around the earth to come into order? It looks like what it says right here in Ephesians 1:10, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. And if you want to begin to join God in this process where all things are passing away, all things of this world are passing away, and everything of the kingdom is beginning to replace it. If you want to participate in this current advancement of the consuming of all nations by God's kingdom, then you're going to have to unite yourself to Him. You're going to have to unite your mind to Him. You're going to have to unite your heart to Him. You're going to have to learn to submit and bow your entire soul life to the Master, Jesus Christ. He's got to become Lord and Master of your every thought, of your every word, of your soul, of everything that goes through your mind, of your mind itself. If you want to you have been given the mind of Christ, by the way, if you're born again. But if you want to operate in that mind, you're going to have to deny the desires of your own mind, right? You're going to have to crucify the things of the natural mind. And you're going to have to begin to think like, act like, walk like, and conduct yourself like Jesus Christ conducted Himself in the earth. This is how John put it in the book of 1 John. He says, let not anyone who, just say, I'm intimate with the Lord, let him prove it. If you're intimate with the Lord, he says, don't just say you're intimate with the Lord. Let's see some fruit. Let's see the fruit of intimacy. What is the fruit of intimacy? He says that you would begin to conduct yourself as He conducted Himself. So many people say, I believe in Jesus, right? You're going to find people all over the world who say that they believe in Jesus. Okay. But you're going to find very few who can begin to conduct themselves as He conducted Himself. In order to do this, you leave your life. Leave your life. What is your life? It's everything that you do according to your own desire. That's your life. Everything you do according to your own desire. So you crucify that life and you leave it. Turn your back on it and follow Him. Obey His commands and begin to participate in the work that the Spirit of God is doing in the earth through the sons of God, which is, again, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. All right, I'm going to wrap it up there. Thanks for joining me today. We'll continue to do these live streams every Sunday. If you've got our app, thanks for watching on our app. If you've got our app, you can watch our 3 p.m. Sunday gathering, which is our house church meeting, which we don't do it for your viewing pleasure. So it's it's chaotic and noisy, but we pray, we teach, and we do all the things there. So invite you to join that. Let me pray for you guys. In the name of Jesus, I break and curse the power of the liar over your life. And I break and curse and loose you from the bonds of the words spoken by the liar, whether through men or any other means. And I say, be free. In the name of Jesus, be free. And I charge you to become a son. I charge you to become a soldier. I charge you to leave the life driven by your own personal desires and pick up the desires of Jesus Christ. Pick up the desires of the Father and begin to renew your mind so that you can prove what is acceptable to God, so that you can prove what is pleasing to God, so that you can prove what is perfect in God's sight, in the name of Jesus.